You have been challenged. I hope that is true when I say you have been challenged. And now that you have heard, you've got a responsibility. Not only in hearing, but to do. All of you have come out of the world, at least in the physical realm. I hope you can come out of the world in the mental aspect, and that you can continue to be focused. There, you know how when you get a tune in your head, it keeps playing and playing. And there's this in mind up Calvary's mountain. One dreadful morn walked Christ my Savior, weary and worn. If you could join, if we could get together and join outside the judgment hall and see that victim come out. And a cross laid upon him that became so weighty that the onlookers knew, we're not going to get him to the cross. And they didn't provide help by getting somebody else to carry the cross. That was not their intention. Their intention was that their act could be carried out to the fullest extent. And you go all the way from the judgment hall with that victim, and then you stop beneath Calvary's mountain and you look at that one, that victim on that middle cross. And one thing, I assure you, if you get a right view, then the things of this world will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. And if the Lord will help, as He has thus far this morning, we'll look at two verses in Job 23. But before we read, would you bow with me as we unite our hearts, and knowing that we've got access all the way to a holy God through the Lord Jesus. Our Father, it is Thy goodness and mercy that we have been allowed together. It is Thy goodness that You've challenged our hearts in devotion and in Him. Dear Lord, let not these things flee. Let us not lose them. But let us live as we might be a friend to this one. He that hath friends must show himself friendly. And the more we are in that aspect, showing ourselves friendly, the greater the revelation of Christ to our hearts will be. My Father, enable us in the spirit of our gathering here this morning, that we might have hearing ears continually to hear. But I trust, if by thy Spirit you provide help and wisdom, that we hear from thee. I pray, Father, that you might fix every heart, that the Word of God, applied by thy Spirit, might penetrate the hearts, our minds, and call our attention to that one object. And if our eye is single, our whole body shall be full of light. Have these here struggling physically, help them. Have these that might be struggling emotionally, and Lord, would you, in your grace and mercy, open hearts that thus far have not been opened, and grant that in the declaration of thy word, it is with unction, it is with wisdom, and as much as might be beneficial to your children, not only here, but your children as they hear. Grant holy unction, that Christ our Lord be exalted, that the saints of God would have this single eye, and that we might leave having heard and becoming doers, lest thy word slip and we lose it. Give help, we pray, in Christ's name and for his great honor and glory. Amen. Job 23. Then Job answered and said, beginning with the first verse, even today is my complaint bitter. My stroke is heavier than my groaning. The wounds of my spirit he's talking about, and the pains of my body is such that I have reason to complain. And it is right, and it is good to express that to your Lord, as long as our groanings are not greater than our stroke. It's all right to talk to God about your condition, about your pain, about the stroke laid upon you, as long as your groanings do not come up to and exceed the hand of God upon you. Verse 3, oh, that I knew where I might find him, that I might come even to his seat. I would order my cause before him and fill my mouth with arguments. I would know the words which he would answer me and understand what he would say unto me. Will he plead against me with his great power? No, but he would put strength in me. Be kind of like Jacob wrestling with what I fully believe was the Lord that night, the pre-incarnate Christ. God had to put strength in him, in Jacob, enabling him to wrestle with the one omnipotent one, all power. That's what Job said. He had put strength in me. Verse 7, there the righteous might dispute with him, so should I be delivered forever from my judge. Now here's the text, two verses. Behold, I go forward, but he's not there, and backward, but I cannot perceive him. On the left hand where he doth work, but I cannot behold him. He hideth himself on the right hand that I cannot see him, but he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. And as to the title, and this has been difficult to arrive at this point, labored Friday afternoon, all Friday afternoon, trying to get verses together. And I got up Saturday morning and I tore it all up and threw it away. And then I began anew and I labored all morning yesterday. And after a snack, I tore it all up and started afresh yesterday afternoon. And I do hope God will make it fresh to your souls. As to the title, it is not found in the verses that I said here, read to you, 8 and 9. If you want to find it, you could do so in Luke chapter 10, the last verse, where Jesus is talking to Martha and he said, one thing is needful. It is a necessity. That you not lose what I will close out in speaking to you today. You must get it, be careful using it, and never lose it. Mr. Tozer had, well, one of his many small booklets in print was The Missing Jewel of Worship. Well, the reason that that is missing is because the church has lost that Job did not. Job lost. We'll begin with the priorities. His children. He lost his servants, loyal servants. He lost his flocks and his herds. He lost his health. And he lost his companion. Now, God did not take her away. But Job had lost her as a friend when she said to him, why don't you just curse God and die? Your life is useless. No benefit left for you. Just die. And he lost her. And then he lost the presence of the Lord. Verses 3, 8, and 9. He's been searching from the withdrawal of God, God's presence. Till you get to chapter 38, 39. Lost all things. He even lost the presence of the Lord, which is one thing that the professing church can never lose. You cannot lose, or they cannot lose, that which they've never had. And the one thing needful is to you that you not lose. And we'll get to the what a little later. Even when you lose the presence of the Lord, there was something within him that he had not thus far lost, been stripped of everything. Verse 3. Oh, that I knew where I might find him, that I might come even to his seat. Job has known the God that makes himself known. Paul wrote that I might know him. This is after Paul had met him and knew him. But I want to know more. I want to find where he is. If I have a complaint, and it is less than the stroke on me, then I'd like to talk with him about that, wherever I can find him. You get a statement, and as far as you read all the checks that are in, you've balanced it, and everything looks all right. And you didn't notice all the way to the end that there had been $5,000 deposit in your bank. You can never use that until you find out that you have it. What woman having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one, doth light a candle and sweep the house and search diligently until she finds that she had lost? That's what you've got. You've got Job in this chapter, seeking the Lord. He has lost the presence of the Lord, and he's got so-called friends that they account health and prosperity as one being right with and having God's blessings upon them. Chapter 22, verse 21. The simple have always got a solution to the great problems of someone other than themselves. They've already determined. They've acted as the physicians to Job. And they've already determined that the reason he is in the condition that he is because of sin in his life. Verse 21, acquaint now, one of his friends speaking, thyself with him. That is, show harmony with him. Show familiarity with him and be at peace. Thereby good shall come unto thee. Receive, I pray thee, the law from his mouth, and lay up his words in thine heart. If thou return to the Almighty, Thou shalt be built up. Thou shalt put away iniquity far from thy tabernacles. Again, they're looking at this man in this pitiful condition, having lost just about everything. And they say, become familiar with God again. Put away your iniquity. Verse 24 and 25, then shalt thou lay up gold as dust, and the gold of Ophir as the stones of the brooks. Yea, the Almighty shall be thy defense, and thou shalt have plenty of silver. Got those running around in the health, wealth gospel. The more you give, the more you get. Now, folk, I hope this is to you, every child of God here. There will be times in your life and throughout your life that your profession of faith will seem that that's all it is. Nothing more. You never met the Lord. You repented, you thought. You believed, you thought. But today there's no reality in your repentance or in your belief in your faith. And for the reason that you feel the absence of life and the emptiness within, it's all gone. There was yesterday, last month, and 6 months ago, when you were skipping merrily along, enjoying a consciousness of God in your heart, the reality that Christ was your Savior, and that there was a love that was from here ascending upward, but it's gone. For some reason, It no longer is in your life. And God that you thought you knew seems so very far away. You felt vitality a month ago. You felt the activity of life a week ago. When you opened the book, when you entered the closet, when you attended the service, all was in search of adding to the reality in your soul. My God liveth. My Redeemer is at the right hand of God, looking after and over me. And the book and the closet and the service previously was enhancing the inner life in your soul, the life of God in your heart. But that life, it's gone. You're almost certain that you were saved. And then you've walked with the Lord and you've fellowshiped with Him. And as far as you know, there's nothing in your life that you can put your finger on as this offended or grieved the Spirit of God. Therefore, He has departed from me. And everything you have done that enhanced Christ living in you, your hope of glory, it's gone. It's dead. If you had never known hunger, if you had never known the thirst of the water from above that refreshes your soul. Heaven's bread that you obtain for God dwelling in you. If you had never known that, and do not this day know that, there would never have been any pursuit. But because you did know this some days back, you are, as Job, seeking God. Can you relate in any way to the psalmist? As the heart panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for the living God. Is there something in your soul that can say you know what the psalmist was speaking about there? Did that life of God within, has it been bubbling up? When you are in fellowship with Him, a simple profession of faith produces nothing even remotely close to "my soul thirsteth after the living God." If you don't know anything about life within, though you are faithful to read when you do read, if you do, it is an end in itself. I read a chapter. I read three chapters. And so that is an end in itself. When you pray, it is just a duty. And when you attend the services, you enter and there is no hunger within. You have no desire to be met as you sit here. What's wrong? You would have been as well off at the beach, at a birthday party. There would be more emotion within your heart at a good game that you loved in sports. But true Christianity is as real to the believer as is physical life. I get up hungry. I get up thirsty. I go through the day with a thirst. You didn't get up this morning and check your pulse to see if your heart was beating. You didn't check any of the vitals unless you're having trouble somewhere. But it wasn't that you were seeking life in that you checked. For you don't if you're having no problems. I have life. I know I have life because I'm stirring about. I know I have life because I have a hunger. And so spiritual life echoes the same message to the children of God. Physical life to the true child and the spiritual life compare in all things. And the physical life that you experience, which the spiritual life that you experience if you are a child of God, experiential Christianity, gone. I experience Christ. I experience the Spirit of God in opening the book and having opened my heart because I asked Him to as I opened the book. It's not a theory with me. God, Christ, not a theory with you. Obtaining when you come here, sometimes it's real to you. Or you're going to find yourself just like Job. If I knew where I could find God, that's where I'd go. Now in verse 8 and verse 9 of chapter 23 that we've read, behold, I go forward. Some might say that he's looking ahead to the promises of God. Some might add some other things, but he goes forward. Whatever he's searching, it is in front of him. But God's not there. He is not there. And then I go backwards. Maybe looking to past times when God was enhancing life within you, spiritual life within you. Maybe looking at the providence of God where he helped you in times past. But God wasn't in any of these. On the left hand, and again, I just throw out what some of the old writers, though I did not search any of them. If I can't remember it, I don't need it at this time. On the left hand, now you know that the right hand of God signifies his power. So Job might be saying, I look at the works of God on his left hand, his grace and his mercy, his goodness. I can't find him. I can't behold him there. And on the right hand, he hides himself. You've been there. If you've been in the way, this is familiar to you. You know what it is. Let me give you a couple of other verses. If you want to go ahead and turn to Isaiah, just a little over, just chapter 8. We'll stop there. You all are familiar with chapter 50, verse 10. Who is among you that feareth the Lord? Feareth the Lord, that obeyeth his voice, or the voice of his servant, and he walks in darkness and hath no light. You're talking about experiential Christianity. Talking about in salvation, salvation becomes very real to you. It is a living thing in your heart. You've sought him. Before you've been there, he's departed. And now you're walking in darkness and you've got no light. Isaiah said, or the Spirit of God to Isaiah, let him trust in the name of the Lord and let him stay, that is, lean or rest upon his God. I have no evidence that God is even alive today, but I know that he was yesterday for me. Now in chapter 8 and verse 17, Isaiah 8:17, and I will wait upon the Lord that hideth his face from the house of Jacob, and I will look for him. Both he and Job and other writers have spoken of that which is real. It's experiential. It's not what somebody told them, it's what they know in their souls because of what God has done for them. And for the most part, the Church of God has lost practical Christianity. We've all settled down to truth, and we think that's sufficient in itself. If we teach and set before the people that is sufficient, yet we never hear of the reality of a walk. Oh, they're good in expounding the scriptures, but bring it down to where I live. Help me in my walk. I thank the Lord for the grand doctrines that He has left us with, and they are beside the great stone, the head of the church, they are something to plant our feet firmly upon. But I want to know what it is walking with God. I want to know what these old men wrote about conversing with God. I want to read His truth, and His truth takes me to the person of the Word. Paul said, God who hath made us able ministers of the New Testament, now listen, not of the letter, but of the Spirit, for the letter killeth. As much as this God's Word gives life, God's Word kills. It's a double-edged sword. You're going to get one of the two out of it. And the mere letter of the Word is like me saying, folks, walking is good for you. And so me believing that, I've devoted 20 minutes a day to studying the effects of walking upon my physical body. I'm going to spend an hour a day with continued studying the benefits of vitamins so that from A to zinc, I know the effects of the particular vitamins upon my body. I can lecture, I can surpass the learned doctors because I devote so much time to tell you how this helps you. But I never take a vitamin. And I never take a step on a path or walk. I can tell you what it does, but I don't know anything about its effect on me. What about of God to you? You all believe that God is. You all believe that God is faithful. You well believe that Jesus rose from the grave, ascended back to the Father, sits as the great Redeemer of the church. He will redeem all the Father gave Him. And there He is a faithful high priest, seeing He ever liveth to make intercession. You found that He does forgive. And where He is seated, and what He did at Calvary, and where He ascended back to, and His work being carried on today. Not a doubt in your mind. And it's passed from theory to reality. Is forgiveness with God a fact or theory with you? You say, oh no, He forgave me. I know He did. Then in the reality of that statement, sin shall not have dominion over you. For ye are not under the law. Now, folk, the law, the letter of the word could not do anything for you about your sins. It only could shed light. But then we find out the reality of Micah 7:19. He will subdue our iniquities. I know he's doing that because they do not have control of me. All that being made known. Subduing our iniquities, not that he plucked them up by the roots and you never more will have to deal with them. No. He just reduced the force of them in your life. And by you feeding upon the word, by you fellowshipping with the living God, you know the reality of forgiveness and the work of the high priest today. Now, back to Job 23. And I begin to close it down. Job has lost everything. Job's good friends are poor physicians at best. Physicians of no value. Job has lost the reality of God's presence. I search for him. I hunt him. I look on the left and right. But the one thing that is needful for you, that Job never lost, and that is a heart to pursue after God. I can't find him on the right hand. I can't find him on the left. I can't find him going forward. I can't find him going backwards. But he continued on seeking after God. The certainty of God's omnipresence can be a comfort at times, but a suffering saint wants to lean on the bosom of the Lord Jesus, and they want to feel his powerful arm supporting them. Experiential Christianity knows God to be real and living. You know that? A fact. You know that is a fact. There's not a one of you here that doesn't know that, doesn't believe that. Okay, that being true, then God will make himself known at times to his children throughout their life. I was made manifest unto them that ask not of me. Romans 10:20. That's the true God. You'll come to Christ at times, and it seems he's nowhere near. There is no sound of his voice as you're walking in the cool of the day in the garden, God's paradise, before it was ruined. But there's no voice of God falling on your ear. There's no realization of God. So far as you aware of his presence. But if every child of God here will have and keep what Job didn't lose. I don't know where he is, but I'm in pursuit. It'll solve your problems. Now, if God departs because of sin, you're going to get rid of the sin first and acknowledge that. But I'm not talking to any that willfully sin. I'm talking to you that have lost the presence of God, and you will. And it's okay to search your heart, ask God to search it, and when you can find nothing, and God still is not making himself known, if you can keep in your soul that desire to find wherever God is, and one more time hear his voice, somewhere in your future it will be. And the presence of God will be as real to you as the one working beside you or your friend is. If you, like Job, find your heart desiring to know where God is, to hear his voice, then you will be like the departed preacher of the 19th century. Lord, I seem not to see thee or touch thee or apprehend thee. Don't see any of that. Yet I come, and I find in coming a heaven. Don't feel God, don't sense God, no realization that God is even looking at me. Yet I come, and I find a heaven in that, and for 10,000 worlds I dare not, I could not stay away. It is getting high time that we all begin to be more serious about the oil in our lamps, that we shake ourselves until we are awakened and alert, seeking after our God. Job has lost the presence of God, but the one thing needful, the one thing essential, he has not lost a heart to pursue after God. It's been 2 or 3 months ago that Toby had some pictures, and one of them brought a piece of maple wood that they've been sawing, and it's got black lines scattered throughout the length of that board. And you know, if you get good maple, you know the color of it when it's sawed. But a lot of folk like this maple with the dark lines in it. And the dark lines are there because beetles got into the wood. I told Toby, you better be watchful that these tiny creatures do not get in your heart and destroy you. As Solomon said, dead flies cause the ointment of the apothecary to stink. Take us, the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vine, and leave with this. If you remember nothing I've told you, leave with the main thought here. If you've got a heart to pursue after God, God gave it to you, and you're going to run into God. Just keep pursuing after him.